Lord, we praise you for your healing, your healthy speaking. We pray also that this word would speak to us, that your word would reveal to us, that we could see what you want us to know. Lord, grant us all a spirit that would be able to discern the good from the false prophets. I want to remain at the end of chapter 1 for a moment of 2 Peter about the word that is a wonderful lamp in a dark place and the holy people of God in verse 21 who are moved by the Holy Spirit. But we can't remain there because Peter continues in chapter 2 and says, but there were also false prophets among the people. It's not just the holy men of God who are prophesying in 2 Peter 1:21 who are speaking what God wants to speak, but there are apparently also false prophets. And Peter has a lot to say about them. Chapter 2 is the longest chapter in 2 Peter. Show of hands, how many of you have read chapter 2 before this conference? Praise the Lord. And how many of you have really enjoyed and liked reading it? One brother. It's happening now. It's it's healthy bread. It's dark bread, healthy and nutritious food. We need this word. We've often read and seen that this second epistle of Peter is such an important complement to the first book. And this is written for those who want to discern there are false prophets that will rise up among God's people. And if we read, we'll see this is not a new thing. This is something that has always existed. The entire Bible is full of this. I'm really astonished how many verses in the entire Bible, how many verses in the Bible from front to back are dedicated to false prophets, and there are so many warnings. And if you are precise about it, it already started in the Garden of Eden with the serpent. The serpent said, oh, the Lord said, you should not eat this, you should eat this. And then along came the serpent. And the serpent did not speak just anything where it was immediately apparent that it was not from God, has nothing to do with God. But the serpent came and twisted the word of God and inserted a lie. The serpent took what God told Adam and Eve and flipped it. And he took the people who were God's people at that time, if you want to put it that way, whom he created, and he misled them, corrupted them, deceived them. That happened at the very beginning, and this continues throughout the entire story, the entire Bible. And these false prophets were not few. We see in Peter there are holy men, and someone also read in chapter 3, verse 3, Peter emphasizes the holy prophets, but in chapter 2, it's speaking about the false prophets. So what is the relationship between false and holy prophets? Let's look at it. In Jeremiah 14, there's a verse where we see what is a characteristic of these false prophets. And today, in this age, we really have to learn to discern. That's why Peter wrote this long chapter and speaks about it very much, because he wants to warn God's people. And he desires for us to be in a position to discern, because in the end, it is really, we have everything to gain and to lose. Because you either follow God's way, or if you fall for a false prophet, that's not a small thing, because it will lead you to corruption. As Jeremiah says in chapter 14, verse 13, "Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, You shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place." Jeremiah had complained because there were so many false prophets. And the people of God listened to them. And what did the Lord say to them? Verse 14, "And the Lord said to me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name." That's the problem. They don't do it in their own name, or in such a way that you could immediately recognize that it has nothing to do with God, but they speak lies in God's name. "But the Lord said, I have not sent them, not commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart." That's exactly what Peter warned about. Yeah, there's no private interpretation of God's prophecy. But here you see the false prophets, they prophesy the deceit of their heart. And then the Lord says in verse 15, "Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land." We also, there is also sword and famine, inflation that many also falsely prophesied about. "By sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed." And in verse 16, what happens to the people who listen to these false prophets? The Lord doesn't say, oh, they can't help it, they follow the false prophets, but I'll spare them. No, in verse 16 it says, "The people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem." And that's really the problem. In the end, both the false prophets and those who listen to them will be judged. And that's why Peter has to warn us in such a strong way about these false prophets. The Pharisees, the Lord said, are the blind leading the blind. So is it only the leaders who fall into the ditch? But it's both the leaders and the followers. And that's why as God's people, we really have to learn to discern and do not deal with it in such a lackadaisical way. And we see an example in the scripture. It's a good example in 1 Kings 22 concerning the prophet Micah at that time. And this is about the false and the true prophets. In 1 Kings 22, there was the king Ahab and the king Jehoshaphat. This is when Israel and Judah came together. And the king Ahab wanted to fight for the Aramaic people. And the king Jehoshaphat said in verse 5, 1 Kings 22, 5, he actually said something good. "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." So it was a king who knew God and who feared of doing just anything. So he said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." But they didn't ask the Lord, they gathered the prophets together. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Wow, they really had a lot of prophets who were available, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." That's a pretty clear message, 400-0. It's pretty democratic. So if you were to follow the rules of democracy, as we all do today, then it's a pretty clear message. All 400 of the prophets said, "Go up. The Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat had a sense that he smelled something wasn't quite right. And he said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" He said that somehow it shouldn't be so simple. He did not allow himself to be impressed by the number of people or the number of prophets. So in verse 8, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him." That's a pretty powerful statement. Why does he hate him? It's the same reason that prophets are hated today, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And this was Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things. Why do you hate him?" The king should be concerned with what is the Lord saying. But that was the way the king thought. So the king of Israel called an officer, and they brought Micaiah, and they were all sitting there. And it's described how they sat each on his throne, and the 400 prophets continued to prophesy. And one even made iron horns and said, "This is how you will defeat the Aramaic people." Then Micaiah said, "Listen." Sorry, someone called Micaiah and said, "Listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king." Or in German it says, they prophesy good things for the king. Not for the Lord, but for the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And what's Micaiah's answer in verse 14? "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Praise the Lord." That is what the good prophets or the true prophets are like. They speak what the Lord wants them to speak. They speak through the Holy Spirit. As Peter said, a prophet of the Lord does not look at what the people want. But these 400 prophets, they spoke what the king wanted to hear. That reminds us of something. If you read the news today, it seems to me they are just talking about what the ruling ones want to hear. And we are really living in the time of the false prophets. We'll see in this chapter, there are false prophets today, not just among God's people, but everywhere. You know this phrase, fake news. Did we have this concept, this phrase, 10 years ago? No. This is a new concept specific to our time. So it feels like today everything is fake. Everything is fake. And so false prophets, that 2 Peter 2 describes, they may be believers among God's people, but actually it's a description of all kinds of men, all kinds of people who speak lies and mislead God's people. And that's really omnipresent today. And it's exactly what we see here. 400 prophets all said the same thing, just like these so-called mainstream media who all say the same thing, and they all say what the kings want to hear. And beware if there is such a one like Micaiah who speaks the truth. They really would hate him. And that really needs to show us that we are living in a time today where it's really coming to a point with these false prophets, and they're everywhere, these people who speak lies. And we can't believe that this has nothing to do with the believers or God's people, because look at how many of God's people are being misled by all these media and everything what is contained in them. So how can you say it has nothing to do with God's people? It has everything to do with God's people. How many people have been misled, deceived in the last couple of years because they just believed everything they heard? And they became blind for what God is doing, what the Antichrist is doing. They're blind to the fact that the Lord is coming soon because they cannot recognize the signs of the times. these prophets, these false prophets, for example, in the form of the governments and the media of today, are really still deceiving God's people. And that's why the word in 2 Peter is really important. So then Micaiah came to the king in verse 15, and so they asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? The same question they asked the prophets. And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So do you think Micaiah was afraid? Because what he's basically saying, go and do what you like, because God saw that the king had no desire to do what God says. He'd already decided what he would do. So should we think that Micaiah changed his mind or just caved? But no, God had already seen the heart of this king. But the king wasn't so sure if that was the truth. So he said, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? It's a little strange, isn't it? On the one hand, he doesn't want to hear the truth, but on the other hand, he says, tell me the truth. Then he said, in verse 17, then Micaiah said what God had really showed him. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains. And in verse 18, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? But you know, someone who really cares for God speaking, it's not a matter of is it good or bad, but what is spoken. If the Lord speaks something that appears to be evil to us, then we should say amen. If it's, for example, to say you need to repent, or if you say an admonishment or a direction to a brother or sister that say, hey, leave this thing, repent, make a turn. How is our heart? Do we only want a confirmation for our own ways that are already in our heart? No, we want to hear what the Lord has to say. And then Micaiah continues. We don't have time to read all of it. But he showed that God sent a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets in verse 22. And that is astonishing. And it shows us that these false prophets, even today, are not just people who are speaking out of themselves, but there is a lying spirit. We really have to see there's not only the Holy Spirit and nothing else, but there are many lying spirits. There are demons. There are powers of darkness. When the media and the government is telling lies to the people, these are not just people who are talking what they want to talk, but it's a lying spirit, powers of darkness. Just as here, a lying spirit came into the mouth of all his prophets, and it worked. And the Lord actually also tests his people. He wants to examine the heart of his people, whether the believers today really want to follow him or only hear what is good concerning them. Then one of the other prophets came, and slapped him. It's like today, those who speak the truth get a physical or verbal slap. But in verse 25, praise the Lord, Micaiah says, indeed, you shall see on that day. If you really are speaking of the Lord, you can be fully in peace, at rest. And in the end, you even put Micaiah in prison, and that is also often the fate of those who speak the truth. But we should not be afraid. In the coming time, in the coming year or two, we will have a lot of opportunity to, we may also get a slap, and we may also be put into prison, and we may be given the bread of tribulation. But we should not be afraid. We should be encouraged, courageous. And praise the Lord. In the end, Micaiah's word that he spoke through God was fulfilled. Everything happened. And they try to hide from God, but you cannot hide from God. God guided an arrow that was shot into the air so that it killed the king. So this shows that we are living in a time of the false prophets. Just like at that time, 400-1. Today, we always act according to the majority. But God is not like this. The holy prophets of God, of which Peter speaks, are few. But it's so important. So today, let us really learn to discern even what is in the media and not believe everything. And then the Lord himself warned about false prophets. In Matthew 24, he says, there the disciples asked him. It's also amazing to see. Matthew 24, verse 3. They said, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And what is the first sign of the times that the Lord gave? He said in verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. We expected such a sign. We have a timeline in the back of this room. There's so many signs. Well, I guess we need to supplement it with a sign, which is false prophets will be there. It is really a sign of the times that helps us to recognize that the Lord is coming soon, and we are living in a time where this word, fake news, is so present, and where there are so many false prophets among God's people. Even recently here in Stuttgart, there was a movement that some of the saints here became familiar with, who are proclaiming a false Christ. A brother is claiming to be the Messiah and even Elijah. And they're very active and very obvious. That's right in front of our doorstep. The Lord said in verse 5, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. This is a sign of the times, and that has to be a confirmation for us. The Lord is coming soon. We live in an age of false prophets. And the Lord warned in Matthew 7, at the end of the constitution of the heavenly kingdom, in Matthew 7, 15, beware of false prophets. And here we see something very important. Timo already told us how they appear. They don't show up as though it's so obvious you would see right away this is a false prophet, but rather they come in sheep's clothing. What do you do when you see a sheep? You go in and you pet it. You stroke the sheep. But what you would not do is run away. Nobody runs away from a sheep. Or have you ever seen someone running away from a sheep? But it says here, inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. If they looked like ravenous wolves, everyone would run away. But the problem is, they look like sheep. And I think many of us have seen this, experienced this. I have seen brothers who really were in sheep's clothing. They were so gentle, like a lamb, so pleasant. But suddenly you realized, because of the effect of their speaking, that they were ravenous wolves. The saints who listened to them, they were dead, spiritually dead. And the Lord said something very important in verse 16. Yeah, you will know them by their fruits. That means you may not recognize a false prophet from what they are saying, because especially the false prophets among God's people today, they speak the word, especially those in Christianity, they don't speak from the Quran. They also speak from the Bible. They're not speaking from worldly books. Maybe some of them are, but many of them are speaking from the Bible. And with many of them, most of them, you may not be able to recognize from their outward appearance. But what does the Lord say here? You will know them by their fruits. And in verse 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. That means that you will know them by their fruits, whether it's a false prophet or a holy man of God. And Peter spoke of these fruits in chapter 1, and we know what the fruit looks like. And that's why it's good, as Brother Timo also said, you can read a lot of things in the internet, but you don't know what the fruit of that speaking is. But if you look at the fruit and you see, is there a divine expression? Is there godliness? Or is there love? Or when you get to know the person, do you hear him? A brother said yesterday that he wanted to have contact with a pastor that he knew, and the pastor said, I have no time for you. I've got so much to do. And you notice, does someone have an interest in, and do they have brotherly love, or is it just about their work? The brother also told us that a few decades ago, he came out of a certain group, and the brother said it impressed me. The teaching was correct. What they spoke was correct. But the brother said, I didn't see the fruit, or rather the fruit that I saw, it was bad fruit. There was such a controlling atmosphere, and the kids did not behave well, and there was no hospitality, no brotherly love. And that's why the Lord said, you will know them by their fruit. Let us learn this, not just to hear a nice word. Yeah, it's easy to come up with nice words, but the true fruit of the Spirit, you cannot just make up. You cannot fake it. You can't imitate it. You either have it because you live through the Lord and you really are truly following the Lord. That's why the Lord says you will know them by their fruits. And later, the apostles constantly warned about it. For example, Paul in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. It's really wonderful to see how all the good prophets warned us about this. Now the Spirit expressly says, this touched me, the Spirit expressly says, that means the Lord really wants to warn that in latter times, we are now in these latter times, some will depart from the faith. And again, here you see, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We really have to see today, among God's people, there are deceiving spirits. And don't think that these spirits and demons can't also do signs and wonders. Sometimes we're very impressed, quickly impressed by signs. But there are also impure spirits and demons that can also heal. They can also do signs and wonders. Why will so many follow the Antichrist later? Because he will do wonders. And many will, among God's people, will think, well, only God can do that. But there are deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I sometimes have noticed that when you're speaking with believers from certain parts of Christianity, they have seen a lot of healing and a lot of miracles. And when you speak with them, you notice, wait, their daily life is not pure. The words are coming out of their mouth that you think, that's not how saints should speak. And so you think, where is the reality in the speaking and in their living? So we cannot allow ourselves to be impressed by a lot of action, by a lot of outward things. Of course, the Lord can also do deeds, powerful deeds, but you have to see also the fruit and the expression to go along with it. And we should really be pure, keep ourselves pure and holy. Peter talks about holy men, holy prophets in chapter 3. And chapter 2, it says the holy commandment. So holiness really is a way to recognize if someone is really following the Lord or is a false prophet. In verse 3, they say, forbidding to marry and a commanding to abstain from foods. And then also in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, for the time will come, and again, he's speaking of our time, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. And here we see that not only the false prophets are a problem, but there's also a people that is encouraging or furthering these false prophets because they have itching ears to hear according to their own desires. We have also experienced this. You speak with a believer and you share some of the healthy teaching, for example, that the Lord is coming soon, the sound doctrine that we should prepare, and we even say that judgment is coming and that we Christians will also be judged before the judgment seat of Christ, and their ears are closed. Did the people say amen and repent? Well, maybe some did, but most of them, I think many of us can confirm this, most of them don't. Because why? They will not endure sound doctrine. And that's why the false prophets have such an audience within Christianity, because people like to hear it. Look, for example, at these mega churches in the States, or even in Asia and in Germany. These false prophets are speaking what people would like to hear, what they desire to hear, and the people in turn cheer on these false prophets because they will heap up for themselves teachers. And verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So it shows the second problem is with the people. But let us not be impressed by this, influenced by this, but be such who speak the truth, even if the most people don't want to hear it. The Lord will bring some together, a few who do, and we want to speak for those, and for those, we want to seek for those also. Yeah, may the Lord lead us to such people. 2 Peter 2 is such a chapter that we should read. And we don't have to go through every single verse, but let us take this word seriously and really receive this food and let it work in us. And the encouragement is that the Lord will also judge such false prophets. Sometimes we get very worked up about fake news, but we don't have to get worked up. Recently, often when I read these things, I say, thank you, Lord, that you will judge them. And we should pray for his people. Stir up a few more that they will really see through the lies of these false prophets and not believe them. And I want to say one more thing. We shouldn't think that false prophets... Well, sometimes we have concepts. We may think of someone who like says something really obviously fake or something extreme. But a false prophet is someone who says anything that is not from God. And it can be very innocuous. For example, if someone says, you don't have to bring the Father an offering. Don't make such a big deal out of it. We may not think that person is a false prophet, but that is a false prophet. Because he is saying something God did not say. God says, I want you to serve me as priests, to worship me with spiritual offerings. And then some get up and say, what a strange practice. You don't have to do that. You can also, for example, offer to the Father at home. What is that? That's a false prophet. And I'm saying this so that we will be sensitized that it's not just very extreme people apart from us who say really maybe crazy things, but a false prophet may be someone who we even know and who is close to us and who say many things that are true and from the Word, but then sometimes will say something that is not true, and you will see the fruit. If the result is that the saints despise the Word of God and don't want to or can't hear certain parts of the Word and don't desire to practice the priestly service as God has ordained, that's bad fruit. And so these are false prophets. And so even there are unclean spirits and not brotherly love. And we really need to be sensitized to this and know the Lord. What is our protection from false prophets? We really need to know the Lord and His Word. As Paul so warned them from ravenous wolves in Acts. In Acts 20, what did he say? He said that I command you God and the word of His grace. We have to know the Lord, really know Him well. When I read this about the false prophets and I see how grave this is and how difficult it is sometimes to see through, then my prayer even more is, Lord, let me really know You and let me really know Your word in a living way, not according to teaching, but according to life. And as the brother said, you don't have to look at a lot of different things to discern. Actually, the less you take in, the better you can discern. If you know the taste of a true food, God's real food, and you know the Lord Himself, then you will know when a false prophet comes. You will recognize it if there's something strange. Praise the Lord. Let us really be sensitized, and learn to discern this. And to take seriously the warning in the Word that the Lord has written, especially for us in this time.